Actually, I was telling them Sunday or Wednesday night, eventually we're all going to lose. We're all going to lose our parents. That's just the way it works. I visited my uncle this last week, and he looks much like my dad, and he forgot. He asked me how my dad was doing. I had to tell him. I said, well, Dad passed away a couple years ago, and it got him so bad because he'd forgotten. And then he asked about Mom, and I was thinking about several of you that lost your parents, and I was kidding them Wednesday night, and I was telling them that we're thinking about putting a hyphen in the church name now, call it Jordan Baptist Church Nursing Home, and guys, we just keep getting older and things keep happening, so we just thought we might just add a nursing home on top of it and just kind of combine the two. But you know, the truth of the matter is that time doesn't wait for any of us, and it's amazing how fast and when our memory goes back to see how things change. And it'll be amazing how much you young people right now, you'll turn around one of these days and you'll look and you'll realize just how quick, if the Lord doesn't hold back his coming, how quick things have changed. And in speaking of that, let me ask some of you that knew Brother Don and went to school and under him. He had a favorite verse. Who remembers what his favorite verse was? What is it, Misty? Proverbs 3:5-6. And I was into one of his Bibles the other day, and I looked, and he had a lot of things written there. But I want to preach this morning, and I want to read those two verses, but I'm going to preach from Genesis chapter 24. I hate to repeat a lot of what Brother Rick did in Sunday school, and I appreciate Brother Rick covering Sunday school for me right now. He's been covering for me since I've been hurt, and we're fixing to start a young married class quick as we get all this Christmas and all these things through. And I know we've been kind of slow in getting that, but we had to. We've got to do some work in one of the rooms, and it's easy said to do, but it's hard to do when you can't get the work done right now. And so we'll work on those things. And so hopefully, as we finish Christmas up, we'll be able to do those things. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate the young married we're having, and it'll be crucial and important for you. This morning he was talking about some things in marriage and talking about different things, commitments, and different making decisions in your life. And I want to preach upon this thought. Four principles that you need to write down in your life in making decisions. We have a lot of people, and we have several people, and there are several that come to this church. And there's some, not I say several, but there's some that come to this church that their whole life, they claim to be saved, but their whole life is messed up all the time. Every time that they make a decision, they make the decision for what they want to. They keep running back to the wrong people. They keep dragging their children here and there. Somebody asked me this morning if I saw where that little 3-month-old that they were looking for had been killed and buried by the mother's boyfriend. And I did, and I saw that. But there's so many of them that just keeps making decisions. And we make decisions upon the wrong things. Each of us do. Each of us have to learn how to make decisions upon the principles that God has set forth. We're going to look at a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was given a great promise. At 75 years old, he was asked to pick up everything he had and leave his father and leave his country and go to a place. He was promised by God that he would be a great nation and he would make a great nation for him. So he had to pick up everything by believing in God. In those times, for some time, Abraham at certain times made decisions. He got in front of God in some of his decisions, some decisions that he made thinking that he knew better than God. He went against the principles that God had set laid forth. One time he went down to Egypt. He told Pharaoh that his wife was his sister. About lost his wife, about lost his life. Because what he did was he trusted in his own wisdom instead of God's principles. God promised him a child. It was 25 years after that, and he was 75 years old when God promised him a nation. It was 25 years after that that God allowed him to have a child. But he got in front of God, and Sarah, his wife, got in front of God and offered her handmaiden. And they had a son 13 years before Isaac, the promised son, would come along. And that's been a mess ever since. Somebody said, what's happening in the Middle East? Ishmael and Isaac's going at each other just like they did from the very beginning. And they'll continue until the end of time. We have that promise. But stay with me tonight, or this morning, and I want to show you. And if you'll jot these things down, I would appreciate, and I think it would be a great help to you. As I said, I see some people struggle in their life. They claim to be saved, and they struggle all their life. They struggle with every decision. Everything going on in their life is a struggle. That's not the way it ought to be. There ought to be some things that you have some peace. Ought to be some things in your home where you have peace. And so write these things down. It would be a great help to you. But first of all, keep your finger in Genesis chapter 24 and go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to read those two verses that we were talking about. That was Brother Don's two favorite verses. Now, I know Brother Don, and he won't mind me bit say this. There was a lot of times he had to learn from these verses too. A lot of times he made decisions in his flesh, and he paid dearly. I've done the same thing. I've not learned to trust God in the way in which I should and apply certain principles. But let's look and let's hope that maybe something said this morning would help some of us make some wiser decisions in our life. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now remember that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own what? Understanding. It's hard sometimes to make decisions when we try to do it the way we reason it to be, instead of trusting in the way in which God's principles teach us. Look in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge what? Him. And lean not unto, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. In other words, he will give you the direction you need. Some people said, do you believe that? Well, let's go, if you would, in chapter 24 of Genesis. Now, let me say something in chapter 24. As I said, Abraham left his land and he went to a place that God promised him. 25 years later, he gave him a son. Remember, Sarah was past the age, and Abraham was 100 years old, and he got Isaac. Well, chapter 23, it was 37 years after that, and Sarah had died. They had had Isaac for 37 years. In chapter 23, and Sarah died. Abraham and Isaac both was having to deal with the issue of losing his mother. But yet Isaac was at the age where he was looking for a wife. He was needing a wife. He was now in chapter 24, about 40. Chapter 24 is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. Now that's saying something. That means that this marriage and finding the wife for Isaac was very important to God. It was 67 verses in this chapter, the longest chapter in the whole book of Genesis. The only thing that's given more verses, and it was given more verses because it went through more chapters than this in the book of Genesis, was the flood and Noah's time. That means that this was very important. So we can learn some very valuable lessons because God put a lot of things in this chapter. Now, I'm not going to read all 67 verses. I'm going to read the first 14. I want to give you four things real quickly, but I want you to write these things down. And this is very important. And as I said, Abraham had now learned some principles of life that he had not learned before. If you look in chapter 24 and verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Now remember, they were living in the middle of a bunch of Canaanites. And Abraham made his servant promise that he would not take a wife for Isaac from the Canaanites. We'll get back to that. Verse number 4. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? Now remember, God told Abraham to leave his land and not come back. And he took him to the land. He said, look at this land. From here and here and here and here is a land I promise you. I'm going to make you a great nation, and forever I'm going to give you this land. In other words, all that they're fighting over in the Middle East is Israel's. Sooner or later, when God's through with everything he's got in plan, they will dwell on there forever and ever because of the promise to Abraham. And so we need to remember that. But his servant said, well, what happens if I go and I go over to the land, back to your land, and there won't be a woman that will come with me? Can I go and take your son with me so she can see who she's getting? And God had told him not to return. The promised land was his, and that was where the nation would be. And so therefore, Abraham refused to allow Isaac to leave the promised land. Look here in verse 6. Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and he sware unto him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he came, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And as it came to pass, I'm going to read a couple more verses if you don't mind. As it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Malkah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher, And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened, let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done him, given him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to take and use this morning. Help us to have some principles to apply in our life that will be a help. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Now, let me give you four things, and I would suggest you write these down. It will help you. None of us get to the place where we're beyond making decisions. Sometimes we make very poor decisions. We suffer for the decisions that we make. There are four principles that we find in these first 14 verses that will be very helpful to you. Now, first of all is this, and let me say this. There are precepts in the Bible. Precepts is where God says, thou can and thou can't. You shall and you shall not. Those things are not up for grabs. Those are precepts, commandments. You can argue all you want to. You can try to change it around. You can try to say, well, things have changed. Precepts are precepts. Commandments are commandments. Jesus said, you can tell my disciples because they love my commandments. The second thing are principles. Principles are drawn from the Word of God. Principle things are applied from the Word of God. You compare Scripture with Scripture and you see principles that's taught. Now you got to remember, Abraham didn't have a whole lot of the Word of God at this time. This is the book of Genesis. He didn't have a whole lot, but later on, God gave some things, but he applied principles that he knew, and he allowed them to work in his life. Then there are preferences. The sad part about it is a lot of times what people do as Christians, they get in fights and arguments over preferences. Some prefers this, some prefers that, and they take their own preference and they want everybody else to abide by their preference. You've got to learn to be wise enough to know what's a precept, what's a principle, and what's a preference. Now look here just a few moments. Four principles that Abraham learned. The first one was this. In making a decision and trying to find God's guidance in your life, you have to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you'll never be able to make decisions with God's guidance. Sometimes we spend all the time listening to reading how-to books, listening to all this commentary, running to everybody else that wants to tell you how to do something. If you're going to find something in your life and make a decision and you want God's guidance, the first thing you got to do is know God's Word. Now you got to understand, nowhere yet that we find in the book of Genesis had God come out directly and told Abraham not to take a Canaanite for a wife. But what he had done was this. He had told Noah, cursed be Canaan, whenever Noah come off the ark. Abraham took from the fact that the Canaanites were going to be cursed, then he took for the fact that his son was not to take a wife from the Canaanites because God's judgment was upon the Canaanites. Now later on, over in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, in the first four verses of chapter 7 Deuteronomy, God spells it out plain to Moses to write down, thou shalt have no wife of the Canaanites, nor the Jebusites or the Perizzites and so forth. And he goes on, he names all of them. And he said, you are not to marry. You are not to allow your children to take a wife from them. And it was in God's word. But Abraham knew enough the word of God to know that his son Isaac, that the wife that he was looking for Isaac, should not come from the Canaanites. So therefore he made his servant promise that he would not bring a Canaanite for his wife. Now I'm sure there was a lot of pretty Canaanites. I'm sure that there was a lot of Canaanites that looked like good, nice, young women. I'm sure that there was Canaanites that came from good families. But the Canaanites were not to marry, and God had forbidden. The principle that he taught Abraham was that the Canaanites was not to come to the children of Shem. And so therefore, that union was not to happen. And so Abraham knew enough about the word of God to apply this. And so here he told him that not to do that. Now some people says, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to look. And by the way, I was talking about some that I see all the time. Their life is in a turmoil. They're up, down, in, out. They're whining, complaining all the time. And yet they constantly run right back to the world to try to find things to satisfy their life. Amen. They keep running to the wrong people. They keep taking their children exposed to the wrong things. And some women seem to be desperate. They seem to think there's only one man, one person over here that can satisfy them. And they make all their decisions the wrong way. And they destroy their whole life running around circles after circle after circle after circle after the wrong thing. Just like this young woman that Brother Porter was talking about with this little child that was killed. Had some man in her house living there. What good was that to her and her, that child? Time and time again, I see women bring men in their home and they beat and they abuse the children. My goodness gracious. Number one, ladies. You say, well, preacher, I made a decision. Or, preacher, I got married young in life. Brother Rick asked the question, why did you get married this morning? A lot of us got married for the wrong reasons. A lot of us, when we were young, we made decisions about getting married for all the wrong reasons. Some people get married, and then they end up having children. And especially in this day, we're told that it would be a time when people be marrying and giving in marriage. And sure enough, hardly a family here has not been affected by mixed marriages and divorces that's happened within there. And when those divorces happen, there are issues that happen. But we have to go to God's word. You say, well, I made a terrible mistake. Well, Abraham had made some mistakes. So he had not listened at time originally at God's word. But now he'd grown a little bit in the Lord, and now he began to look toward the God to say, what should I do now in this situation? And when he looked into the word of God, he saw that he should not go to a Canaanite girl, but he should send back to his own home. But he also knew enough that his son was not to go with his servant to his home. His son would stay right there where God had promised that he was going to build a great nation. So he knew enough about the word of God. Now, let me just say this. I'll move on. If you never get into the word of God, and let me say this. I appreciate seeing some of you young people and young men and some young women stepping up and taking classes. And I see you growing in the word of God. I see you begin to have, when you teach, you have to learn to study, to rightfully divide it. And as you rightfully divide it, what you have to do is you begin to learn the word of God. And you begin to see it. So the first thing you have to do is you have to learn the word of God. Now, just because you learn it doesn't mean you're going to make the right decision. The second thing and second principle you got to do is this. Not only have to know the word of God, you've got to be willing to commit yourself to the will of God according to his word. In other words, whatever the word tells you to do, you got to be willing to commit yourself to that. And so here we had Abraham. He had the word of God, and he didn't know how he was going to do it. And the servant said this. He said, well, what if I go back to you kinfolks and she won't come with me? Abraham said, I don't know whether she's going to come or not, but my son's not going to go because I know enough the word of God. I'm not going to send my son. I'm committed to the fact of believing God's word. And his will is not my son not go back because he told me when I left there not to ever go back there. And so therefore, I'm not going to send my son back there, but I'm also committed enough to the word of God that I'm not going to allow my son to marry a Canaanite woman. Now, I've waited 25 years for a son. Now it's been 40 years. We just lost his mother 3 years ago. And in the last chapter, we just buried Sarah, my beloved wife. She'll never see him get married, but I want to find a wife because God has promised through my son Isaac a great nation. And therefore, he's going to give him a great nation. And so therefore, he was willing to be committed to the word of God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall what? Direct thy paths. Now what we do is this. Now listen to me very carefully. We say, this is what we want. Now God, work my plan out for me. That's what we do. And we, instead of looking to the word of God and committing to his will, we say this, God, commit to my will. Now I'm going to do this. Now God, bless it. But that's not what Abraham did. He'd grown enough now, he figured out. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know who it was going to be. But he had enough, and he said now to his servant, he said, now place your hand under my thigh. And he said, you promised me that you'll not bring me Canaanite woman. And you promised me you'll not take my son there. And you promised me that you'll go into my kindred and you'll bring him a wife. Now, if that woman won't come, I don't know how that's going to happen. But if she won't come, then you are free from this promise and oath that you make unto me. But he said, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to be willing to follow the guidance of God enough that I believe his word, number one, and I'm going to commit to his will. In other words, I'm not going to be satisfied, and I'm going to tell you something, I have no doubt in my mind. There were some very beautiful Canaanite women. I have no doubt that there were some women that you could look upon and say, man, I'd love to have that girl for my wife. But there's been people like Samson and many others that looked and found the wives for all the wrong reasons. And they took them and they found out later on that just because they were good, looking pleasant to the eye, it wasn't going to be good for their future. And so Abraham said, I've waited this time and will commit myself to what God has told me to do. So you just promise me that you'll do what God's word has instructed us to do. So his servant did that. And so he left. Then third principle I want you to write down and I want you to mark is this. Not only do you have to know the word of God, and not only have to be willing to commit to his will, you have to trust him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Lean not unto you what? He did not know how he was going to pull this out. Can I tell you something? The times when God has moved in my life the most is when I couldn't see my way out of something. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. But I trusted in what God's word said. And I committed to do what he told me to do. When we came to this little church over here in a bank building, Brother Porter's one of the few that remembers it. I came here, had just a handful that Sunday morning. I told my wife, I said, God's called me to pastor this church. First Sunday I ever came, I didn't know a soul there. She said, they asked you to pastor? I said, no, they don't know it. I went back to my church and I resigned my positions. Brother Broughton said, why are you resigning? I said, because God's called me to pastor a church. He said, they asked you to pastor that church the first Sunday you went there? I said, Brother Broughton, they don't even know it yet. He said, okay, I'll find people to fill your position. I told my wife at that time, I told her, we had children, and I said, Chris, and I said, I feel God would have you to raise our children. And I said, I want you to quit your job. I was making a little nothing, $3.15 an hour. They just asked me to take over the chief of EMS. Every one of my employees was making more money than I had made as chief. I made $3.15 an hour as chief. But I got off every Sunday. And I'd been praying that God would make a way that I would be off Sunday where I didn't have to miss church. Because in the EMS, I had to miss church on Sunday sometimes. I'd bring my pager. And so she quit. She said, there's no way we can make the bills. She quit. No, I didn't ask them for nothing. And they came in, they gave us a raise. They gave me a raise, just the amount of money that she was making where she was at, where she was working. No one knew. We came and we determined that we would have our children in Christian school. We made that decision and we came here to the church. God said, laid upon my heart to have a Christian school. I said, how? Who's going to be the principal? I had to work. The church at that time depended much on my tithes and offerings. Same week, Brother Don came to this church. Come broken. A little later, he come to me. He said, preacher, I got to give my job up. Said, God wants me to do something with children. I said, yeah, I know what it is, Brother Don. Now, I remember Brother Gene was here and several. And I said, God's laid upon my heart to have a Christian school. I said, we got 52 days until school starts. I went to Nehemiah and I preached that week about Nehemiah had 52 days to build a wall. I said, fellas, there ain't many of us, but we got 52 days to build a school. We opened a school. I remember setting up assembly lines and building those desks and handing them down. Somebody said, why did God take Brother Gene and Brother Kelly? And because he sent them just when we needed them. Got the job done. You see, at those times I was trusting God. I saw no way possible. But that's the thing about God. It's not when you can see your way out of it. It's when you're willing to trust Him. And commit to His will because of His word. And see, sometimes right now, I fail that. And when I fail that right now, thinking that I've came to the place in my life where I make wise decisions, sometimes I'm a fool. Because faith is trusting in Him and His word, not seeing my way clear or how to do it, but just doing it because He said to do it that way. And so He sent His servant. And he said, just do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how you'll come up on a woman. I don't know how you'll know the right woman. I don't know, but all I can tell you is God will send His angel and somehow He'll work something out. And the last thing, number four. His servant got there. Now listen, this was no easy journey. 500 miles, 10 camels. 500 miles on a camel was not a walk in the park. And can I say, it will not always be easy to trust Him. It'll not always be easy to do what He's telling you to do. It'll not always be easy to walk out by faith. I used to teach repelling. And I'd take out, and sometimes I'd take, and we'd repel off of 100 foot, so 50 foot, 75 feet. I'd take them off to the edge of those cliffs. I'd hang them on some ropes, and they'd back out. They'd climb back up. They'd say, ain't no way. And I tell them, I said, listen, this little bitty rope, 3/8 of an inch. I said, you got to learn. I said, sit back. Put your feet straight out in front of you and sit back. I said, you got to put all your trust in the rope. I said, that little rope. I said, that little rope is graded to 9,000-pound test. You got to trust it. So you got to lean back on the rope, put your feet out in front of you, and then you can rappel. You can kick out and you glide down and you come back, and boy, rappelling's fun. But if you try to stand straight up, you're going to smack your face against a rock wall every time you try to come in, into the cliff. You got to have confidence and faith and trust. Well, sometimes ropes messed up. Did have a rope to break a time or two. But God's never broke. He's never messed up. So number three, you got to trust him. Even though you can't see it, you got to trust him. Number four, the servant got there 500 miles. And he did what some of us fail to do. He put his camels down. And he looked at God and he said, God, but my servant, or my master Abraham, hear me. Let me know by letting a damsel, because the girls that was virgins, that was unmarried, the young girls, they would come to the water well. They would carry the water at that time. That was their custom. And so he said, let the girl come to me and let her offer me a drink, and then let her offer without me asking to give all my camels a drink of water. Number four, you must learn to pray about God's will, that he will show you. And you know what? It's just like several of those things I told you. I came to this church 3 weeks after I'd done resign my position at Saline. 3 weeks. 2 weeks after that, I got a phone call. Brother Russ. He said, would you consider pastoring our church? I said, well, nobody even told me you all were without a pastor. I didn't know what was going on with your church. Know nothing about your church. But God done told me. I said, you all pray about it for a week, and then I'll get back and talk to you. I done resigned my position. I done knew I was coming. The third week, they called me, and I met in a little room. Brother Porter remembers this. They said, preacher, we can't give you nothing much. Said, we'll give you Sunday night's offering. It usually amounted, Chris and I, we'd laugh about sometimes, it amounted somewhere between $12 and $15, $17 a week. Just enough to take the kids out on Sunday night to eat. And sometimes it'd pay for it, sometimes it wouldn't pay for it. And they said, now you don't have to come this night or this night or this night or Thursday night. Remember we had Thursday night, sir? And Brother Porter, remember what I told him? I said, listen, when the doors are open, if I pass through this church, I'll be here. They said, preacher, we can't give you no money. I said, I'm not here for the money. I'm here because God called me to be here. I said, God will work out all this other. And he did. Had this little spot of land, didn't see our way clear out how to build this building. We trusted God, and somehow God sent just the right people at just the right time to do just the right things. The little school, when Brother Don said, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what he wants me to do, I said, I do. You know why? I've been praying about it, and God hasn't revealed it to me. And God showed me whenever Brother Don come, and I never told him. I never told him until he come to me. Brother Don said, God told me, he said, right there is going to be your principal. I said, but he's making $150,000 a week or a year. We can't pay him. He was driving, at that time, he was driving Lincoln's, a big Jaguar, had two, three other cars. Come in first week or two, driving all these big fancy cars. I said, there's no way. I said, Brother Don, I said, we can't pay you but this much. He sold everything he had. When he got through selling everything, he didn't have nothing. I had a 1978 Ford Fiesta, 248 miles on it, 248,000 miles on it. Brother Don said, I don't have a car. I said, here, you can have mine. And he took that Fiesta. And he came down and he gave his job up for $150,000+ a year. I forgot you sitting back there, but you may or may not know this. And he worked for a few dollars an hour. And he told me this. He said, preacher, I'm richer now than I've ever been in my life. But you see, in each one of those decisions, we got together and we prayed. Sometimes right now, I fail to pray. And the fourth thing is, you got to pray about it, folks. And if you apply these four principles, it's amazing how you'll find God's guidance in your life. Each of us who are saved, God wants to guide us. But he wants us to trust in him and lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our paths.